Blog Talk Radio.
We live
from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One
with LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
And what's going on, Blog Talk Radio Nation, from coast to coast and around the world? You are tuned into another edition of Page One with LeVar and Mary for this Friday night, March 15th, 2024. So glad you join us. Tonight on the program, we have some topics for you, as long with the Almanac Retro Mode of the Week. We'll take a look at what's trending. Kind of a little bit of a potpourri night, because I actually have some articles I did not tell Mary about, which I will share with you. And
those are always the most fun.
Yeah. And if we have a minute, I will bring back something on this program that we have not done in a very long time. I will leave that in the air. But, my friend, how are you?
I am surviving as best I can, which is more than I can say for some people out there and less than I can say for others. So, fair to Midland. We'll go with that.
Well, yeah. This weekend, Sunday, is St. Patrick's Day. So, a lot of folks will be out and about. And busy, and here in Chicago, the annual Dying of the River will occur tomorrow. So it is a green weekend, so to say.
Yes. And in Vegas, we've got St. Patrick's Day parade and festival with bad carnival rides that look like they're going to fall apart and you're going to fall out of the seats, and good food and a beer garden and whiskey tasting. So looking forward to that.
Nothing speaks festival like a creaky carnival ride.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to fall off of something. Yes.
Yes.
Now, here's my thing. When it comes to carnivals, I'm not a person that likes to ride the rides. I like the skill games, even though I know they are fixed beyond fixed.
Right.
And that it requires a lot of luck to win those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I always find myself spending a lot of money on the skill games. Are you a ride person?
I put my life into people's hands. I take the ride, man. If I could survive one more year, I'm good. It's food. Somebody needs to, and if you do come up with this, I want like some of the profit sharing or like food, free food for life. Come up with like a carnival food restaurant.
I've always said that.
Just those carnival food. I would so be part of that. I would be there. It may not be like all the time, but it would be there. I would be there quite often.
Even though I know it's the name of a popular restaurant, but I think that they should call it Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be like a food hall with a bunch of carnival stands. And, you know, you got your corn dog stand, and they can go fancy if they want to. And they should have, like, their dessert stand, which has the deep-fried Oreos and Twinkies and all other deep-fried desserts. And then you can have funnel cakes. You can have one with the deep-fried foods. You can have your lemon shake-up one that has, like, the fancy lemon shake-ups and the ones with vodka. And, yeah.
Lemon shake-ups.
Yep.
All right, so if you start that, free food for life. You heard it here first. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
We give so many great ideas to the show. I hope that...
like all somewhere. The ideas we're giving out here. Come on.
I know. I hope that someone takes advantage of it. I mean, we're just giving them away for you. Yeah, you know, I don't know. But I love carnivals. I miss them. I love state fairs. I haven't had a chance to do one in a very long time. But hopefully soon, hopefully someday, I will get a chance to head back out and get to a local fair and or carnival. And that way you could support your local. Is it like bad to call? I thought it was like you couldn't call the carnival people carnies. I thought you couldn't do. Could you? Can you?
I don't know what the. Well, I'm sure the PC term is not supposed to. But I would ask a carnival person if they what they prefer to be called. But
of course,
I don't.
I say it and then ask.
And then ask. Yeah.
Is it okay?
Is it okay if I call you something really derogatory? Thanks.
Yes. I ask first and then ask questions later.
Ask questions later. Got it.
Yeah, coming up in a few minutes is the Almanac. This week I will give you a couple of weeks' worth of the Almanac because next Friday night we will be preempted. Next Friday night, if you are so kind, we will have the first 411 lounge of the year, actually the first one in quite some time. Kind of excited, and actually kind of a first for the show. Joining me next Friday night on the show is adult star Brittany Cade. Brittany Cade. And by the way, that show is 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, earlier than what we usually do for this program. But 9 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock Central, if you want to listen in. Brittany Cade is perhaps one of – there's probably – I mean, every one of the adult stars in the trans industry is probably popular, but she is perhaps probably one of the most well-known in that industry, a multiple award winner. And I think she just picked up a Model of the Year award from another entity. I think she was the Gender X Model of the Year again for the second year in a row. And she has a large fan base, because I will tell you, as soon as word came out last week about her appearance on this show, I probably have had the most reactions and most probably the most people who have viewed the posting in probably almost like a year or two. So a lot of people who will possibly be tuning in next Friday night listening for Brittany Cade. I'm kind of excited. There's a lot going on in the winds of change in the adult entertainment industry, especially in the last year for the part of the trans community in adult entertainment, because there was a big to-do at the AVNs this year. I know a lot of stars were not happy with the representation that was. I'm going to be kind of interested to get her feedback. But, yeah, kind of looking forward to talking with her next Friday night. And also, too, don't forget, March 31st, Easter night, I'll be talking to Dan Dangler. That is not a guy. Nowhere near a guy. All woman. I don't know why she goes by Dan Dangler. I've got to ask, because I think it's kind of a mystery, and I've seen different interviews where they've asked her, and I forgot her rationale for it, but we'll ask her why she goes by Dan Dangler. But she is not a Dan. Nowhere near a Dan. So she is probably one of the most popular up-and-coming stars in the industry, a million-plus followers across her platforms. So, yeah. So Dan Dangler on the 31st of March, but next Friday night will be preempted, but we'll return 2 weeks from tonight. On the show. So And I do believe 2 weeks from tonight on our return to the show, will we have someone joining us perhaps? I don't know.
Perhaps.
Maybe. I don't know. I never said never.
Yep.
So, yes. But no, lot going on. Tune in. I know Sunday night I will be doing some things over for to get folks at PLM. Looking forward to that one. And, yeah, so next busy couple of weeks, I will be all over the place. So, but most, that's what I was going to. Most interesting thing that I read. You know, it's not shocking when I read this, but it says that the selfie culture is driving people to get plastic surgeries so that they look like filtered photos. It says, forget Facetune. Social media mavens are permanently altering their features to look like filters, according to a new study. Researchers from Boston University found a link between social media use and cosmetic procedures, associating more time spent on apps and using photo editing software with appearance dissatisfaction and a desire to change physical features. As a result of selfie culture, users developed Snapchat dysmorphia and sought out procedures to copy the filtered images of themselves. The number of participants considering aesthetics procedures increased from 64% to 86%, and those who sought out a consultation with a surgeon soared from 44% to 68%, according to the study. Meanwhile, post-COVID, approximately 78% of volunteers said getting a procedure would boost their self-esteem. That was 30% more than pre-pandemic. However, the filter effects and extensive photo manipulation often create images that are physically unattainable, according to the study authors. Past studies have demonstrated the effects of social media on teens, suggesting an association between internet use and poor body image. Last year, the Surgeon General warned about the impact that such platforms have on teens, as concerned parents claimed that popular social media apps made their children suicidal or developed an eating disorder. Now, the Boston University researchers speculated that the distorted body image associated with selfie culture spurred an increase in aesthetic procedures during the pandemic, with screen time pretty much skyrocketed around that time. They found that frequent use of social media like Instagram and Snapchat, photo editing apps such as Lightroom or Facetune, was associated with increased body image dissatisfaction. While following celebrities, influencers, and accounts showing the results of cosmetic procedures online influence users' desire for aesthetic treatments. So,
not
yeah.
surprising. I know that I shouldn't have that kind of attitude, but it's not surprising.
No, it was not surprising to hear that. And it's, but it's kind of like, you would think that people would, I don't know why people just aren't happy with themselves.
Well, I'm not. Okay. If you could redo something of your, like every person has, I think, at least one thing. I'm not saying that, you know, like I'm looking at myself in the mirror going, I would change this. I would change that. I would change this. I would change that. I don't want to, I'm not saying that I would want to change everything that makes me me. But if you said, hey, I'm going to give you free plastic surgery, when do you want to get done? Hell yeah, I'm going to be like, okay, so can we, you know, just take some of this extra fluffiness from here? Thanks. I think everybody has that. The difference is it a healthy amount? And with body dysmorphia and now with filter dysmorphia or whatever they called it, like I said, makes sense. It's not surprising. Sad, absolutely. But it's not so far out of the realm of if you can improve one thing, would you? I think everybody has something they'd like to change, even if it's something as simple as I'd like curly hair instead of straight. I would like long fingernails instead of short. You know, we have acrylic nails, fake lashes, lip fillers, perms, and then going the other direction as well. So it's not not a surprise. It's just, I think, a little bit more open, which is kind of a weird thing, but it's in that we all talk about mental health. Well, here's what we're talking about, you know. So, I don't know. There's a correlation there. I don't think they all go together, but there is a correlation.
I'll give you that. It unfortunately, but it, the thing too, and like I said, I hate blaming social media because we should be strong enough not to, I guess, fall into that trap that a lot of these photos out here are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a person lately, they use so many filters, you kind of like forgot what they look like. And
mm-hmm.
like one particular photo, when you see them, you're like, oh, I didn't know that that looked like that. But then the other photos are like majorly different. So, you know, it just is, I don't know. I, at the end of the day, you know, unfortunately, do some people judge, you know, particular things? Yeah. But every person, even if they are perfect in people's eyes, are not perfect. Well, who is that that had like the was it Megan Fox that had like the like her other finger was like really
her
kind
thumbs
of like,
are not her thumbs are not fully developed. Holly
right.
Berry has an extra toe.
Right. And I was like,
and I'm sorry, I don't care what kind of like history, anything, whatever. Holly Berry's a beautiful woman. And she's got an extra toe.
Yep. Extra toe.
Extra toe.
And that's why I was like, yeah. It's so, I'm like, you know, at that point, even the people that we think are perfect are not perfect. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, who knows? But, yeah. So, that was one of the most interesting things. Actually, there was two this week. The other one that was the most interesting thing that I read is as a driver, there was an interesting study. New research has found that listening to popular artists like Drake, Ariana Grande, Eminem, Billie Eilish, Beyonce, and Harry Styles can make you a better driver. And I bet you listen to none of those artists at all.
No, nope, not even a little bit.
So,
but then again, I'm also Asian and over 30, so I've already got three strikes against me.
Well, what? I'm gonna keep quiet.
I am saying my piece. If you got problems, come at me, dude. Like, not just, and I'm not saying you, but you know what I'm saying. Come at me if you got problems. Anyway, you were saying Beyonce, all the single ladies.
Yeah, so pretty much a study by Auto Trader tested car operators who were subjected to 20 popular artists while their hazard perception was being tested on the road. Higher scores indicated greater levels of concentration, meaning that the participants identified and reacted to hazards quicker when listening to that artist, according to researchers. Lovers of the list-topping Canadian rapper Drake started far from the bottom by scoring 59.5 out of 75 on their hazard perception scores. Grande and Eminem fans tied for second place at 58.5, while Billie Eilish fans were third with 57 for their defensive driving dexterity. Also, the Korean pop group BTS tied with The Weeknd at 56.5 for fourth place. Beyonce came in fifth with a score of 55.5. She just about ranked out the Foo Fighters, who rated a 55 for sixth. Harry Styles zipped into seventh spot with 54.5. The 1975 followed with a 54 rating. Meanwhile, two artists of different centuries seem to offer dangerous tendencies for listeners behind the wheel. The hip-hop phenom Megan Thee Stallion and the classical composer Johann Sebastian Bach scored a 37.5 and 42.5, respectively. The test passing grade was 44 out of 75.
Okay, so I have a theory on this. And it's going to be a very
I'm
hot
interested
take.
In hearing this theory.
It's going to be a very hot take, so like you're going to have to deal with it. that what I hear when you give me those scores that you were subjecting me to these artists and their songs or their whatever, and I'm supposed to be dealing with hazards and higher concentration. That means I'm not paying attention to their music. So that means the lower the score, the more I'm paying attention to their music, which also means that Johann Sebastian Bach and Megan Thee Stallion apparently have better music that you want to pay attention to over Beyonce, Ariana Grande. I don't know how you pronounce her name or whatever. What's his name? Drake.
You want to go down that hill on Beyonce fans, really?
No. I'm not saying that. Yes, actually, no. I'm gonna grow a pair.
I'm giving you it out.
I'm telling you, I'm not saying she's making good music or bad music. I'm just saying that I don't have to pay attention to her music when I'm driving. It's easy to ignore her music while I'm driving and pay attention to hazards. Ooh. So come at me.
Well, the views and opinions expressed by Mary this show and its host. I'm not
tell
going
me I'm
to
wrong.
That's
wrong. No, all right, wait. You don't have to tell me I'm wrong. You said
I'm not.
The article said. I'm not even going to say you said. The article stated, or the study stated, that they were subjecting people to their music, to artists' music, while testing them on hazardous conditions or what have you, and how well they paid attention to the hazards. Am I wrong in how I heard that? Is that what the article says?
It kind of alluded to that, but all I'm saying is that if you turn on the car and Beyonce's You Won't Break My Soul comes on, somebody's paying attention to the whole thing and popping up and down and driving.
Right. So, and there's other people who can absolutely ignore it and pay attention to the hazards that are out on the road.
Ooh.
Hot take, I know. I already started with it was a hot take. So I didn't say it was bad music. I just said it was easily ignored. I'm going to have hate mail.
Oh my.
And part of me likes it. Like, come on. Like, bring it on. Let's go.
Well,
I'm a little feisty right now.
I love the, you know, when we could get a good hot take on this show. I'm loving it. So.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Thank you, George.
I'm just saying. But I'm not gonna say that music was bad. I didn't say
it was bad. I said it was easily ignored. There's a difference.
You're gonna get a lot of fans too to say you can't ignore it.
Yeah, well, apparently 70 or 50-some percent can. Or 50 out of 70 can. So there you go. I'll go back to this article.
That's why I'm being the good friend I am. I wanted you to make sure. I was like, hey, you sure you want to go down that path?
Yeah, I started with the, no, I better back down because the beehive going to come and bomb my house. But no, I'm going to grow a pair. Yes, that is what I said. I am following the article and my analysis states.
Oh, you, man. Wow.
And if I don't appear on the show 2 weeks from now, you know what happened. It was
no.
Really nice knowing you guys.
You'll be here.
Yeah, it'll be next month. It'll be fine. They got to give some time so they can't correlate with you.
Like, what did you say? But, I mean, I'm going to stop right there. Anyway, I'm going to give you guys the next couple of weeks so that you are caught up to date. Today is the 15th. Today is National Kansas Day. It's also an Everything You Think Is Wrong Day. It's National Pears Helene Day. National Shoe the World Day. Tomorrow, it's National Curl Crush Day for those who wear their hair in curls. And if you're crushing on them, I guess. It's mm-hmm. also National Panda Day tomorrow.
Whoop.
And tomorrow, just because we mentioned it, it's National Corn Dog Day tomorrow.
Oh, so having one. Or five. Depends on how many they limit me to.
All you can eat.
Yeah, lady, you need to stop, okay?
It is. It's also National Artichoke Hearts Day. It's National Everything You Do Is Right Day. National Freedom of Information Day is also tomorrow. National Quilting Day. And then on Sunday, as we said, St. Patrick's Day, it's National Corned Beef and Cabbage Day. Monday brings us National Biodiesel Day, as well as National Sloppy Joe Day. Sloppy Ooh. Joe, sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe. Yeah, I'm glad somebody else went there, too.
It is also National Lacey Oatmeal Cookie Day. I see the look in your face asking what that is.
Oatmeal cookies. I mean, I'm down.
People may refer to it as National Oatmeal Cookie Day, which is celebrated on April 30th, though, but the difference between the two is that Lacey, L-A-C-Y, oatmeal cookies are wafer thin and typically accompany a scoop of ice cream or sorbet.
Also down.
So, yes. The 18th is also National Awkward Moments Day. A lot of us have those. National Supreme Sacrifice Day is March 18th. And then on Tuesday, the 19th, it is National Backyard Day, National 3D Day. Spring begins on Tuesday. And then National Ag Day. The 19th is also National Certified Nurses Day. It's National Let's Laugh Day. That should be every day. National Chocolate Caramel Day is on March 19th, as well as National Poultry Day. The third Wednesday of March.
Mm-hmm. Before you go on to the Wednesday, is because that's the first day of spring, isn't that also the Chicago Henge?
Yes, that is. Chicago Henge, which is, I have seen it quite a few times, and that is a beautiful sight to see. How can I best describe Chicago Henge? If you are downtown, pretty much how it works, it's a term to use to the phenomenon that occurs when the sun sets directly in line with the east-west street of Chicago's grid system. It creates like this, I call it a spectacular display of light and shadow. It only occurs twice a year. It's usually around the vernal and autumnal equinoxes when the sun's path aligns with the city's street grid. So if you are in Chicago and you'll have a chance to go and see it, definitely. It's right. Generally, I would say if you are downtown Chicago, if you are standing probably along Michigan Avenue and maybe at Washington Street, you will probably get the best view of what Chicago Henge means. It pretty much sets up between those buildings, pretty much. So, yeah, if you get a chance to see it, definitely see it. The third Wednesday of March is National SBDC Day. That is National Small Business Development Centers Day, where it recognizes the thousands of SBDCs across the country supporting entrepreneurs in the pursuit of small business ownership. So that is also on that day. The 20th is National Proposal Day. So if you're going to propose marriage, it's National Proposal Day. It's also National Native HIV AIDS Awareness Day, National Ravioli Day, The 21st brings us National Memory Day, National Spray Tanning Day. Incredible Kids Day is on the 21st. National Countdown Day is the 21st. National Farm Rescuer Day. National French Bread Day is March 21st.
French Bread Day.
Yep.
Ugh. They've got everything.
National California Strawberry Day. It's also National Fragrance Day. What's your favorite fragrance?
That all depends. Like, I am a fan of vanilla. Like, that hits me. I love the smell of apple, like baked apples, apple pie, pumpkin, not pumpkin spice, just pumpkin. anything baked, like really baked goods, bread. Bread is some good fragrance. I would never wear it, but that's, yeah.
Maybe,
you know what? I take that back. I might wear it. Who knows? Depends on who's doing the commercial for it. Why not? Let's go with the hot takes tonight.
All right. March 21st is also National Single Parent Day. It's National Common Courtesy Day, which that should be every day. The 22nd, next Friday, is National West Virginia Day, National Bavarian Crepes Day. It's National Goof Off Day.
There we go.
And
that is every day for me.
No, you are a very hard worker. March 23rd is National Tamale Day. Ooh, good tamale. Also, National Chia Day. Chia seed.
As in like chia pets?
Chia Day, which I think is just for the seed itself. It's not Chia Pet Day, just Chia Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, National Melba Toast Day, National Near Miss Day. It's also National Chip and Dip Day. And March 23rd is also National Puppy Day.
Ooh, looking for a new puppy. It doesn't necessarily have to be a puppy. It could be a full-fledged dog, but we're looking to add to the family.
Yeah, so March 23rd might be a good date to maybe go out and look. So, just in case. March 24th, that is Palm Sunday. It's also National Cocktail Day, National Cheesesteak Day, National Chocolate-Covered Raisin Day. Then on the 25th, it is National Medal of Honor Day. On that day, it is Tolkien Reading Day, National Lobster Newberg Day, Epilepsy Awareness Day, which is Purple Day on March 26th, National Nougat Day on March 26th, Spinach Day. On the fourth Tuesday of March, it is American Diabetes Association Alert Day on that day.
Long title.
Yeah, American Diabetes Association Alert Day.
That's something that is kind of near and dear to both of us.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, pretty much on that day, it is observed annually on the fourth Tuesday of March. This one-day wake-up call informs the American public about the seriousness of diabetes and encourages all to take the diabetes risk test and learn about your family's history of diabetes. It impacts approximately 34.2 million Americans. That's about 10.5% of the U.S. population. Of those living with diabetes, 7.3 million, one in seven adults, don't even know that they have it. The risk of developing diabetes increases with age, but there are other factors too. Ethnic background may increase your risk. An additional 1.5 million Americans are diagnosed with diabetes each year. So, yeah. Good to know your factors there. And then on the 27th of March, which is on that Wednesday, it's National Scribble Day.
Okay.
And then it's National Little Red Wagon Day. It is National Spanish Paella Day, National Joe Day, J-O-E, The 28th brings us National Triglycerides Day, National Black Forest Cake Day, and National Something on a Stick Day.
And, more meats on sticks.
Right. And then March 28th is National Weed Appreciation Day, which I don't know why some of the, well, if you smoke, I don't know why you need a National Appreciation Day for it when you appreciate it every day.
Is that the weed they're talking about, or are they talking about weeds in your lawn? Because it could be
You know what? I am sorry. It is a weed appreciation day for the weed that's in your garden. It reminds us that some weeds are beneficial to us in our ecosystem. So some are edible and nutritious, while others have medicinal value, as it says.
So it does include that. All right. Just making sure.
I was just wondering. So, yes. So, yeah, there you go. So that is all of the days here over the next couple of weeks that you have. So are we, let's see, that looks weird. Well, no, I was wondering if we were, okay. You know, cause I left my screen and I came back to my screen and we weren't on there, and it said it was 1 hour and 6 minutes until the next episode. I'm like, we are on the air, right?
I don't know.
It refreshed. We're on the air, so no. It scared me. You know, things have been acting a little weird with the site this afternoon. Stuff as it seems, but we are on the air, so I know that is true.
Well, I mean, hey, McDonald's was taken offline, so.
Really? How long? Did that happen today?
Yeah, that happened today. Apparently, there was a cyber attack. And McDonald's was closed. Like, there were a lot of different locations that were closed because they attacked the app.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Somebody opened up a bad email?
Probably. Probably.
Oh, goodness.
Didn't take their phishing tests seriously.
Right. And jobs do that annually. And, to try to test you. So if you see something weird, don't open it. It's a test. So
it's a test
of the emergency broadcast system. speaking of tests, here's what we're going to do. Because we're kind of deep into the show already, I'm going to go with the retro moment of the week tonight. A couple of quick ones for you. One I think is actually appearing for the second time on here. One for the first time. Because it is National Nougat Day, if you quickly think of a candy that has nougat, what comes to mind?
For me? Milky Way. Snickers. Either one.
Okay.
Those are my first two.
One of those may be a retro moment of the week tonight.
I'm glad I gave two then. That way you can't be like, oh.
Well, now I'm gonna ask you to choose one.
Oh, do I have to? I like them both.
No. I mean, if you want to like test your guessing skills here,
I would say Snickers. That's the more
congratulations,
normal nougat peanut. Yeah,
you
that's
won.
The more common one. Yeah. I like Milky Way though, without the peanuts. the Nutless Wonder. I said that wrong. Go to commercial.
Yes, we're going to go to the retro moment of the week while she thinks about that and while she thinks about what she said to Beyonce fans. So on the other side, we'll join you.
It was really nice knowing everyone.
she'll be here after the break, but we'll be back with more Page One here on this Friday night. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Little Jack Horner had a plum on his thumb till the gang got Snickers and offered him some. Yes, for you, for everybody who craves good candy, a Snickers candy bar has everything everybody likes. Inside, a fluffy nougat flavored with peanut butter and malted milk. Then a creamy golden caramel layer with lots of fresh, whole Virginia peanuts. And covered all over with pure milk chocolate. Mmm, boy, what a bar. Buy Snickers one at a time, six at a time in the popular six-pack, and it won't be long till you'll want to buy Snickers candy bars by the box, like this. When you crave peanuts and chocolate, too, ask for Snickers. Good? We'll ask Jack. Now from his corner, Jack says, hooray, I'm going to stick to Snickers starting today.
If you like peanuts and chocolate, too, then Snickers is the bar for you.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee. Performance is sweeter, nothing can beat her. Life is completer in a Chevy. So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
Traveling east, traveling west, wherever you go, Chevy service is best. Southward or north, near place or far, there's a Chevrolet dealer for your Chevrolet car.
So make a date today to see the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. Your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Welcome back to Page One on this Friday night, March 15th. We are pretty much a couple of weeks away from the end of the month. We won't be with you next Friday night, but we will be with you 2 weeks from tonight, which is the last Friday of the month of March and the last Friday of the first quarter of the year, which goes to show how fast this year is going. Yeah. You know, the commercial break, the retro moment break gives me a chance to sometimes kind of look at the show and edit it tonight along the way. There's actually one story that I want to probably edit out and bring up something else, which is important. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But first, I kind of want to get to a story that I wouldn't say everyone goes through this, but there are enough that probably at one time or another possibly have, whether it's themselves or their kids. And what happened was that a Texas mom allegedly gave her son a mixed drink disguised in a sports bottle in an effort to prevent bullies at school from stealing the drink from her child. Jennifer Lynn Rossi, 45, allegedly combined lemon, salt, and vinegar, according to the Bexar County Sheriff's Office. The contents were not toxic, but a child who drank the mixed beverage was hospitalized. A school official said that the drink was confiscated after the incident. The 11-year-old student allegedly first stole a drink belonging to her son on Monday, according to the arrest warrant. After her son told her what happened, she allegedly came up with the mixed drink idea. Now, whether the allegations of bullying at the root of the situation are substantiated or not, there's never an excuse to take matters into your own hands and injure a child, according to Sheriff Javier Salazar. The police investigation at Legacy Traditional School Alamo Ranch began Tuesday after reports of a sick child, authorities said. Once they arrived, deputies learned that the sick child was given the doctored drink by a classmate during gym class. The sick and 11-year-old said he took a large sip and spat it out because it tasted bad, according to the arrest warrant. He developed a headache and started to feel nauseated shortly after drinking the concoction. The student has since been discharged from the hospital and is doing well, according to the CBS affiliate KENS. Rossi was charged with injury to a child causing bodily injury. She has since posted bond. She told officials that she's a nurse and knew that the mixture she made was non-toxic, according to the arrest warrant. The officials wrote in the warrant that she stated that she takes full responsibility for what happened. Her son will be, quote, subject to disciplinary actions in accordance with legacy policies governing student conduct, according to a school official. Now, a lot of us, and let's all be honest, a lot of us here, if that was happening to our child,
100%.
We would have gone that route too. I'm 100%. Just being honest.
100%.
I'm not. Hey, you know us on this show. I'm not going to beat around the bush, and I'm not going to be like, "Oh, it's the stunt." No. You all know that if your child came to you and said that this was happening, you know. Doggone well that you'd add a little something extra the next time of that lunch to see who the guilty party was. Not that we would condone it.
No. Oh, of course not. Yes, I condone it. No, I'm sorry. Here's the thing. I'm sorry I'm jumping in here because my mom's side of me is just right now like, yeah, you need. Your kid was a bully. All right. And your kid was stealing my kid's drinks. One of three things would have happened. Not even one. Two of the three things would have happened. I would have asked, did you report it? And if you did, what has happened? And if I get a, yeah, I reported it, nothing, then I would either be spiking the drink like the mom did. So bravo on you for, and again, that drink was non-toxic. They spat it out. So even with it, it's not like she put Drano in there.
Right.
There are plenty of people that take spoonfuls of vinegar to help them lose weight. So don't come at me at this one. It is non-toxic. So I would have spiked the drink, or I would have gone over and I would have been beaten on somebody's car. And do you not have money to buy your child a drink, or is your child just an asshole? And sorry for the swearing, but that would be what would come out of my mouth to the other mother or father if it's a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
Or both. I don't know. I'm not going to even discriminate. Whichever parent I ran into, I would be like, that would be what would come out of my mouth. Do you guys need money for something to drink? Or are you just raising a butthead? And more than likely, the parents, and this is going to sound so bad, more than likely the parents of that bully child either bully that child themselves,
mm-hmm.
which is awful, or are bullies and are showing that child this is the way to live. And in either case, it's wrong. Retaliation shouldn't happen, and to be honest, like the best course of action is to not do that, is to report and have it done that way. But we all know that, like even in this case, what are they doing to the bully child for stealing the drink?
Which is the shame of it all. And the thing is that I'm sorry, but I think as I get older, and forgive me, but you know, I find it very, very hard to feel sorry for the perpetrators of things. You know, it's almost kind of like, I know this is an entirely different analogy, but it's kind of like when you have a robber who attempts to rob and shoot somebody, and then somebody pulls out the gun and they shoot the robber, and the robber either is critically injured or dies. I can't feel bad for him because you decided that on this particular day, you were going to go out and do something that was not right. And in this case, this kid, if this is true, because all of this is allegedly, because we don't know the full story, we don't know what's mm-hmm. going on, but if mm-hmm. this allegation is true, and from the allegations of this kid deliberately taking these lunches and drinking whatever and eating whatever, then you kind of got your comeuppance for doing that. And I hope mm-hmm. that it is a lesson learned that when you do stuff like that, that consequences sometimes can happen. And at that point, maybe that sickness and hospitalization might have been punishment enough, but I still think there should be an additional punishment. Because if you're going to punish the child for what the mother did in defending and protecting her child, then mm-hmm. the actual perpetrator of the whole thing needs to be punished as well. Because if he is not, that is only acknowledging that it's okay that he did what he did, and that's not right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, I don't know what to tell you beyond that, but I hope that, you know, there is some repercussions for him as well, especially if you're going to do it for the innocent party that was victimized.
Correct.
Like, what the heck is that? What does that teach? So...
Yeah. And that's why I said the first thing would be, did you report it? Like, if the kid didn't report it, then the parent should have been like, okay, we have to report this and see what happens. And if they did report it and nothing happened, then I am all for you spiking their drink. I would have spiked their drink and put dog poop in the sandwich. You know, like, that's just so that when they picked it up, it'd be smelly. I don't know. It's bad, I know, but yes.
Yeah. So, nope. That pretty much was for that. Also, Airbnb is banning indoor security cameras from its listings around the world, and its hosts have until the end of next month to comply, according to the lodging rental platform, as we talked about it on Monday. The company previously allowed those looking to rent out the place to use indoor security cameras in common areas, so long as the devices were clearly disclosed in the listing page and the cameras were installed in easy-to-see places. Such cameras, which were barred from bedrooms and bathrooms, are now prohibited inside any Airbnb listing, regardless of their purpose or visibility. According to Juniper Downs, Airbnb's head of community policy and partnerships, he said that these changes were made in consultation with our guests, hosts, and privacy experts. Homeowners listing properties on Airbnb that use indoor security cameras have until April 30th to remove them. Those that don't comply face potentially having their listing or account removed from the platform. The update's not expected to impact most of the listings on Airbnb, according to the company, which started in 2017 and now counts more than 5 million hosts as using its technology. Outdoor security devices such as doorbell cameras are still allowed, but their location needs to be disclosed to would-be guests before they sign on the dotted line. With advances in technology and heightened concerns about consumer privacy, with the Federal Trade Commission among the agencies sounding the alarm about the myriad of ways that personal information is collected and sold to third-party vendors. Vexing for some travelers, use of security cameras at Airbnb set listings was actually spoofed in a recent episode of Saturday Night Live, which suggested travelers were being watched from a toilet. More serious vein related to privacy and travel, a Royal Caribbean cruise worker was arrested earlier this month in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, after allegedly hiding cameras inside bathrooms of passenger cabins to spy on guests. So, I remember when I told you first about this article, the first word that came out of your mouth was?
Finally. Like, okay. It's about dang time. Indoor security it's supposed to be like a hotel, and I don't want indoor security cameras in my hotel room. So why would I accept that they're there in my Airbnb? If I'm supposed to be treating an Airbnb like a hotel, then no, I don't want indoor cameras. People are creepy. They do and watch creepy things. It's like, you know, and I use Airbnb. I have in the past. I probably will in the future. There's just, you know, certain areas of our country and then, of course, other countries where I want to stay. And the only way I'm going to be able to stay anywhere near where I want to stay will be to be using, like, Airbnb.
I agree. It's kind of like, hey, you know, I get it that
it's their homes or whatever. Most people's, it's an investment property of some sort, so that's what they're renting out, and they want their stuff to be taken care of, and I get that, but there's also a way of doing that without,
right? And that's where I was headed towards, because pretty much, you know, at this point, you know, you kind of have to let it fly, if it makes sense, because if there's going to be damage, you know, this is why after every person leaves that you document, you go through, you take pictures and you do whatever. And then for everyone that comes through, you know, it's almost kind of like, this is what I call it this way. Years ago when I worked for a rent-a-car company, what's the first thing that they did when you got their car? You walked around the vehicle, you checked for nicks and scratches and broken things, you checked it off while they were there, you had them sign off on it, they went on their merry way, you looked at it when they came back, and if something was different, then that's when you handle it. But it's kind of going to have to be the same way. You're going to have to do the little walk around, just like the rent-a-car, and be all right with that. But to just have cameras there, there's no reason to have cameras constantly on the inside of a house or even in a common area watching somebody. Even in the common area, what disturbs me, because what if something occurred, you know, like there's a lot of people who
like water around without pants on.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan of that. So, yes. But, no, Airbnb pretty soon will not have that. Taking a look at what's trending tonight. It's Friday night, so I don't have to tell you that SmackDown is trending tonight. Also trending tonight, former Vice President Mike Pence. So he is in the news because, well, no surprise, he said that he will not endorse former President Donald Trump in the election. And pretty much he warned the nation against reelecting his old running mate. So there you have it. Going from a former vice president, not supporting his running mate, has him trending tonight. RuPaul's Drag Race is also trending tonight. Kentucky, or the University of Kentucky basketball, they are trending tonight for all the wrong reasons, because they lost to Texas A&M in their tournament by 10 points in the SEC tournament. So number 9 Kentucky goes down. That might hurt their standing when time comes for the NCAA tournament rankings, or the NCAA tournament, which will be announced Sunday night. I get excited this time of year, by the way.
Yeah. Do you have a bracket?
That. Well, I mean, it'll be announced on Sunday night. But will I fill one out? I probably will. Actually, you know what? I kind of feel like we should do, or at some point, we should do like a special NCAA like tournament show.
I started a bad thing. Okay.
I missed the year because I know we did our tournament bracket a couple of years ago on this show, the Tournament of Pain.
And I
thought about it this year, about doing one. I was like, no, I can't think of what I would want to do. Maybe next year we'll do something. So, but couldn't think of anything.
Tournament of Carnival Food.
Yes. Do we have 64 carnival foods to choose? I don't know. Maybe we'll just have to do it down to 32. And then we'll, you know what? I don't know. Maybe when we come back on the 29th, we could do a one-day tournament of carnival food. we'll have to think about that. But no, that's pretty much tonight, besides college basketball and Friday night shows. Those are some of the things that are trending, at least the notable things that are trending. Chicago Bears were trending yesterday. Some big trades that occurred for them, and we still got the NFL draft coming up. So, there's a lot going on sports-wise. It's still developing. I thought it's kind of tough, but this is kind of like a slow Friday night of what I call it. So, that's pretty much what's trending tonight. So, with that, I was going to do a story. I think I was going to do a story about the I'll do it real quick. I kind of hate like teasing a story and then we don't do it. But a new class at Iowa State University teaches students the science behind happiness and offers best practices for well-being. Mental health, especially for teenagers and college students, was on the decline even before the pandemic. More than 40% of teens said that they persistently felt sad or hopeless in 2021, according to a CDC survey. 85 students signed up for the inaugural spring course that started in January, according to Amy Zarling, who is a clinical psychologist and ISU professor who started the class. The topic resonates because even if students aren't struggling themselves, they likely have a friend or loved one who's dealt with mental health challenges. Research shows that genetics factor into 40 to 50% of one's happiness, so everyone's temperament starts at a different base. And so they have three tips for better well-being, one being savoring the moment, two, finding purpose, and three, giving self-compassion, which they say is the hardest practice. But that I thought about that, and if there's a class on the science of happiness, what other, I guess, emotion would you like to see a class on?
Another emotion?
Yeah.
Anxiety. Like, that would be a good one as well. No, and not, and okay, that sounded really wrong. I'm having a great night tonight with what sounds great. Just not necessarily, just recognizing it. Because there are times, because in my brain I'm thinking anxiety and being overwhelmed, right? That's usually why people get anxious about something. They're either overwhelmed or they just don't have the skill set to handle whatever's going on. But if there's a there is a science about it. I mean, we all have, there's a science about basically anything that is human because we have studied ourselves. If we're going to be talking about the science of happiness, we should also do the antithesis of that. You know, we should do the opposite and do this study or the science of, and I hate to say depression because people already talk about mental health, but like anxiety, recognizing it, understanding where the base is coming from, getting to the root cause of it, finding ways to cope. Not necessarily, because you can't necessarily cure anxiety, but you can find ways to cope with it, solve the underlying issues that reduce the anxiety, that kind of thing. I think that would be good. I also still think that they should be teaching in high school and in college skill set, how to do a budget, how to, you know, do your taxes, how to change a tire, how to check your oil. Stuff that people don't necessarily learn anymore unless they're out there, unless somebody goes, hey, do this, you know. I think those would be really good things to keep / add. What would you add?
This is going to sound dirty, but at the same time, I'm kind of curious. Ecstasy.
Interesting.
Because
I don't
think
that's bad.
Because a lot of people have different factors of ecstasy, not just from a sexual standpoint, even though it could be from that. But for a lot of people, it could be sitting in a room full of kittens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like their euphoria, you know, it's like their love, you know, or, you know, what makes people so beyond, because we talk about happiness, but ecstasy is like that step above happiness. So what actually brings you to that point? You know, what makes you beyond happy?
So you could have like the science of happiness and that would be your 101 course and then ecstasy would be your 102?
Yeah. Yep. Something like that.
I'd be down for that.
Would you now?
That would be fun. don't make it creepy. I'll turn on that stupid indoor camera that you have.
Would you like to learn a little bit more about ecstasy?
No, I would take only the 101 course. I already took psychology of, it was a psychology course with sexuality and the human experience. That was disappointing.
You know, I can see where that might be disappointing, because you go into it thinking one thing and then it's like entirely different.
Yeah.
I can see that. Nope. No, thank you. You know, now I'm a little bad because I had a story lined up and I lost it just like that. And I'm probably not going to find it again. It was, I just lost my story. Well, that's what happens when you're online. pretty much what it was going to be about, and it was going to be one of the, now I feel like I'd have to replace that story because I'm not going to have it. But it was pretty much about a couple that was getting married, and they were going to charge their guest for coming to the wedding to help pay for the food.
Haven't we covered something like that before?
I think
that
every
seems to
year,
be a trend.
Every year we get a story along that route. And I think it was something where they were asking everyone to pay $40 to kind of help with the food. But you know what? Screw that. I'm going to just go straight to what I was originally going to do anyway. And I missed the story last week because I totally forgot to do it. But this comes from the Columbus Dispatch. So for them, the new Smash Park, by the way, we're starting the potpourri portion of the program, if you didn't know. But the new Smash Park is bringing a 50,000 square foot pickleball karaoke concept to Westerville. The 50,000 square foot entertainment sports complex featuring, like I said, pickleball, karaoke, and a bar is headed to Westerville. Construction of the venue called Smash Park will start this year in the West Star Place development, according to a Smash Park news release. The complex is expected to open roughly a year later with about 100 employees. Founded in 2018 in West Des Moines, Iowa, Smash Park is an all-in-one entertainment destination. The Westerville venue will include 30,000 square feet of pickleball courts, axe throwing, duck pin bowling, and private karaoke suites, and another 15,000 square feet outdoors for additional pickleball courts and activities such as shuffleboard and bocce ball. Smash Park also will include arcade games, a restaurant, a rooftop bar, more than 100 TVs, and an area for dogs. Like the original West Des Moines location, the Westerville site will also include an adults-only bar known as the Paddle Club, I don't know why it's going to be called that, with darts, board games, and other recreational activities. Smash Parks also include weekly activities such as trivia tournaments and a bingo brunch, and rent space for private events. The Westerville location will sit on the southeast corner of Polaris Parkway, Cleveland Avenue. The development roughly was bought for $1.8 million. That's a lot, man. But apparently in central Ohio, they're competing against several new pickleball complexes, one including the Pickle Shack in Delaware, Ohio, and Pickle and Chill on West Henderson Road.
Pickle and Chill.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
50,000 square. That's a lot. I wouldn't even know what to do when I walk in there. That's
surprisingly, it is. I know that is a lot, but then with the courts, that takes up a lot of room as well. So you're probably only getting about 20,000 usable square feet. Plus, you got to remember you got bathrooms, so that's another, you know, however many.
I guess. I'm guessing. I did find a makeup story that I think we'll all like. I'm like losing stories tonight for some odd reason. You know what? Screw that. No, we're not going to do that story either. You know what? I'm just going to go to the next to last two stories.
Okay.
One I will go to. No, because I had another one that was kind of an odd story. Well, actually, I did find it. So it was an odd story more than anything else. But it also goes to prove that some things just can't be done the way that it can be done. It's kind of, you could take it as a sad story, but this from California, a large number of around 830,000 salmon, or they call it salmon fry, were released into Northern California's Klamath River. They were believed to have died after they suffered gas bubble disease, according to state wildlife officials. The condition is caused by a severe change in pressure. It happened as the fish went through the Iron Gate Dam Tunnel, according to the California Fish and Wildlife Department. I didn't know that there could be such a thing, but 830,000 salmon fry are believed to have died.
Okay. Does that mean that my salmon price is going to go up?
Yes, that's what that now means.
I'm so bad.
Your salmon costs are now going to go up.
Aww.
And for you video game fans, the World Video Game Hall of Fame has announced the finalists for their Hall of Fame. And this year's draw comes from four decades of gaming. I will tell you the games. Fans are invited to vote online until March 21st. The Hall of Fame recognizes games for their longevity, geographic reach, and influence on video game design and pop culture. There's no shortage of contenders, according to John Paul Dyson, director of International Center for the History of Electronic Games at the Strong Museum in Rochester, where the Hall of Fame is located. So if you're in Rochester, New York, you can see it. Thousands of nominations coming each year for electronic games of all types. Arcade, console, computer, handheld, mobile. The three games that received the most public votes will form a player's choice ballot to be counted with the other ballots submitted by members of a committee of journalists and scholars with video game expertise. The top vote getters will be inducted on May 9th. The games, and I will do this kind of in the order in which they have it, the first game up for possible induction is Asteroids. I am shocked that it's not already in there.
Yeah, I am too, but then also not. It's one of those, it's a game that's been around, but it's also a bit, it's like people recognize, but then they don't actually like vote for it, surprisingly. It's like, oh, it should be already in there. It's like, no, it's not. Vote for it.
Yeah, so Asteroids sold more than 70,000 arcade units, becoming Atari's best-selling coin-operated game. A home version became available on the Atari 2600. The next game, developed in Great Britain, it's called Elite. It pioneered the innovative 3D graphics and the idea of open-world games by allowing players to control ships that roam the galaxy. The next game, Guitar Hero.
Really?
With its licensed music and social gameplay, it sold more than 25 million units, earning more than $2 billion. It was launched by Harmonix and acquired by Activision. The next game on the list is Nintendo's Metroid, with its protagonist, Samus. Is it Samus?
Everybody pronounces it differently. Samus is the best way of doing it.
Okay. It gave the gaming industry its first playable human female character in mainstream video games. The franchise has sold more than 20 million units worldwide. Myst, which was released by Broderbund, became the best-selling computer game in the 1990s, selling more than 6 million copies. Early CD-ROM technology offered high storage capacity but slow loading times that fit the slow-paced, contemplative style of the game. Did you play Myst?
I did not, surprisingly, but it sounds like something I would be playing.
The browser-based free-to-play Neopets is the next game.
Neopets.
Yeah, it offered a social component that allowed players to chat with each other and form guilds. With 25 million active users at its 2005 peak, it served as a testing ground for cyber safety mechanisms and immersive advertising. Resident Evil, which was known as what name in Japan?
Oh, God, I don't know. That's one of the few things I don't know.
It was known as Biohazard in Japan. It was the first game to popularize the survival horror genre, created by game director Shinji Mikami and released by Capcom. Resident Evil inspired a franchise of films that have grossed more than $1.2 billion. The next is one that I never played, but I saw people playing it. SimCity.
Have I played that one? I don't think I have.
Know.
I know I've played Sims games, but I don't think I have.
Yeah, it was released by Maxis. It helped expand the audience for video games by offering an urban design simulator that appeared to both children and adults. Konami's Kokimi Memorial, I don't even know that game, elevated the dating simulator genre, offering a cohesive narrative, colorful graphics, and engaging gameplay. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which
about time.
Was what?
Sorry. So that one's about time.
Yeah, it was launched in 1999, led to sequels that have generated about $1.4 billion in sales. Tony Hawk once said that the game simultaneously ignited my career and overshadowed it.
Yes.
And then the next game, Ultima, which was designed by Richard Garriott, is credited with helping to define and inspire the computer role-playing genre. No Ultima
okay.
playing here?
No. No, I'm not.
And then the last game that is on there, it reimagined the television game show for the home video game market. Streaming versions of the multiplayer game saw a boost during COVID-19. It is You Don't Know Jack.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'm so happy. You know what, though? When it comes to it, it doesn't matter if your video game's not on there. There's a video game for every person in the world. All you want to do is sit around and, you know, fish. There are fishing games. You want to shoot them up, you know? So there's no excuse other than I'm going to be grumpy the way I look at it.
There you go. I have one more article that I'm holding off because I don't know if I want to really do that just yet because I'm going to let Mary actually vote on that. But the one thing that I did promise you kids, because I said we haven't done it in a while, and as I'm pulling it up now, we have not done an Urban Dictionary word of the day in quite some time. I don't even think we've done one this year.
No, I don't think we have. I don't think we have. Not this year, no. Not 2024, no.
No. Mm-mm. So if you know how that works on this program, you know that normally I will go to the Urban Dictionary and just start pulling up words randomly.
and hope that there's nothing bad.
I really hope that there's nothing bad. At least we hope not. So let's see. The first word that I am going to actually pull up here on the Urban Dictionary word of this one is so stupid that even I have to probably say this one. The word is dick stinger.
Okay.
Do you care to take a guess as to what that is?
I don't know that I should. I think I'm gonna pass on this one today. I would like to know what it is.
Say it.
No, go ahead.
So, pretty much what it is that it is a common strategy in the southeastern United States where a native wasp is captured and released inside someone's dwelling at a predetermined time to force them awake. most commonly a paper wasp or mud dauber, but occasionally a much more aggressive yellow jacket. The wasp will harass any sleeping guests, ultimately preventing returning to sleep. That is a tick
spider. Not what I was thinking, but I'm glad I didn't say what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm glad you did not. I'm glad you did not. And then another word here, which was from early 2023, a hush trip, H-U-S-H.
Hush okay.
It says here that RV Share's 2023 travel trend report defines a hush trip as a remote employee who works full-time from an alternative location where they plan to enjoy leisure activities in their off hours and don't feel the need to disclose their location. 56% of all remote employees say that they're very or extremely likely to partake in a hush trip this year.
I wish I could. That sounds like fun.
So, yes. That is
home is where the Wi-Fi is.
Mm-hmm. So that is a hush trip. And I think before I get into any more trouble, I'm probably not going to
answer that whether or not you're going to do that. You don't have to.
No. Because the odd one that I saw here, it makes no sense. So I'm not even going to go that route. So we'll leave it alone. But I will tell you. There was an After Dark article that I saw, but it is a news story, though. It is
okay.
The 10 kinkiest states revealed by sex experts. So I know, a few months ago we had something about, I think Pornhub had their thing that they did, but there's
mm-hmm.
another study out. Sex experts have revealed the kinkiest states in the U.S. Do you know which state topped the list?
Kinkiest?
Yes.
Probably like Utah or something, but my first guess would have been Vegas. But Nevada, sorry. That's the city, not the state. So I would have said Nevada. But it's probably something like either Montana, not Montana, take that back, Wyoming, because there's not much going on there, or Utah, because everybody's so shut down. Am I close? Probably not.
You are nowhere close. You have to go a little bit farther east. Georgia.
Really?
Topped the list, according to Bed Bible, a sex toy and sexual awareness company. I think I would have said Georgia first. A sexual awareness company that ranked all 50 states based on a number of searches for kinky toys in each one. Georgia had an average monthly search volume of 521 per 100,000 residents, according to the Daily Mail. Next was Nevada, with an average monthly search volume of 509 per 100,000 residents. And naughty New Yorkers came in close third with 508 per 100,000 residents. Those
wow.
results align with a previous study that found that Las Vegas and New York City were among the kinkiest destinations around the globe. While New York City ranked third, it also got points for having some of the world's most sensual menus, as the city is full of champagne bars and oyster restaurants. This comes nearly a decade after Pornhub claimed that New York was among the least kinky states, with residents sticking to basic forms of porn. Back in 2013, New Yorkers searched for vanilla terms, including college and massage. People in the busy Big Apple said folks in the city that never sleeps may simply not have any energy left after long work days to be crazy in the bedroom. According to Bed Bible's new research, though, Texas was the fourth kinkiest state with 498 monthly searches per 100,000 residents, while North Carolina and Colorado tied for fifth with 494 monthly searches. The Golden State was ranked sixth as Californians had 488 searches. Washington State was seventh. Utah and Illinois tied for eighth with 479 searches each, and Maryland placed in ninth, and Massachusetts closed out the list in tenth.
So I've got two out of the top ten when I was just guessing for the number one. Wow.
Yep. So close.
Wow. You know what? I want to argue about California because those might be just supplies for work.
Right. Well, you know what? Nevada has now a lot more along with Florida. There are a lot of adult stars that don't live in California. A lot have moved to Nevada.
That's because I know. You're telling me Nevada's got California residents coming in? Man.
Well, I was talking about adult stars as far as I know, but a lot of
it's
them
just
now live
period.
There.
It's California, yeah. Period. It's the new California. Because the taxes are astronomical. I know this. We get a lot of transplants from. That's one of the things. If you talk to anybody in Vegas and you can't think of a topic, you go, man, those people moving in from California, you will have them talking your ear off for an hour. Easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like I said, the thing with Texas that I can see is that there are a lot more younger folks that are moving to some of the southern parts, especially, I know, Austin, Texas. So it's Texas is not your father's Texas, from what I will tell you. It has changed. There's a lot more younger people, a lot more liberal-minded people who are moving to that state. So, yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that. But at least Illinois was there too. Yeah.
Right, yes. Yeah. Yes. Woo! Yay,
Illinois.
Yay!
But with that, I will wrap this up and say that the clock on the wall is just about telling us it's time to go. Did you have any shout outs for this week?
Not this week, but definitely. If I'm not going to be able to be on for a podcast because of something, then that means it's a big deal. Listen in, folks. It's going to be fun. I will be. It'll be nice to, like, be on a Friday night listening to the show and not have to, like, give an opinion. It'll be great. And awful at the same time, because I'm sure you're going to ask a question and be like, what?
Well, I will tell you, I'm still working on the questions for that show because I want to, you know, because the thing is that for a lot of people out there, you know, in the last, I think, 20, 30 years, and I'll be quick with this, when it has come to the trans porn scene and adult, it really wasn't a scene, even as recently as probably 10, 15 years ago. But with things changing, a lot of mainstream trans stars are now well-known commodities. And these ladies have a huge fan base, you know, where people know them. So it is, you know, it's been a long time coming. I know some things have not worked out in the past as far as getting some people to interview, but the situation arise, and we're happy and we're excited to have Brittany Cade on. So I've got a lot of questions. I hope I don't sound like an idiot, but I've got a lot of questions because there's a lot of things going on within the industry right now, and it's just so much. And her backstory in regards to how she got there, if you read or look online, there is a lot of things and stories that were done about her even before she went into the adult industry. It talks about her time being bullied in school and what kind of led to her transitioning to Brittany Cade. So mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about that, and I'm looking forward to speaking with her. And then, like I said, on the 31st, we'll talk with Dan Dangler. But next Friday night, if you tune in, and a show is probably close to ending at that point, you missed it because it's going to start an hour earlier, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, with Brittany Cade next Friday night here on the 411 Lounge. And then we'll return 2 weeks from tonight with the brand new Page One, 10 o'clock in the East, 9 o'clock Central. So I will miss you next week. And but I will see you in a couple of weeks. And So yeah, enjoy the time off.
See, yeah, I was gonna say. See, even I get benefits. I get some paid time off. Oh wait, am I getting paid?
So that's all
we'll
we have.
We'll talk about
that
later. We'll talk about that later.
No, we do thank all of you for listening, no matter where you're at tonight and how you listen, and if you're on Spotify or if you are listening on Blog Talk Radio or if you're listening through whatever means that you listen to or wherever you're at, whether it is early morning on Saturday or early afternoon, wherever you're at. Thank you for staying up with us, and thank you for listening. For Mary, I'm LeVar. We will see you 2 weeks from tonight, but I'll be back here next week with a brand new 411 Lounge. In the meantime, as always, take care of yourselves and each other, and enjoy your week or weeks ahead.
Bye!
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Thanks for listening to Page One. Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at @NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.